Friday the 19th of June, Kof Zion Sivan, Kaveh Leibish Hela, the Meraglim.
The Sibra Meraglim is a plia atzumo. It's one of the biggest plias in the Torah. How could it come to pass that people who were hand-chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Siye Yaido, should make such a mistake? Such a mistake. We have no doubt that the greatest of people can make mistakes. But it has to be within proportion. Within proportion. Not only do they make a mistake in their analysis and their observations of what they saw, they misinterpreted everything the exact opposite of the way it appeared to them. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam showed them strong things they interpreted as weak things. The special nisim that were made for their protection, they turned on its face. But the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'anoshim asher olu imay omru leinuchol la'alais ela'om ki chozok hu mimenu. Ki chozok hu mimenu. Chozok hu means he is stronger. Mimenu, if you type shit as you would in cheder, you would say mimenu, from us. Zok the Gemara in Soita, what does it mean mimenu? K'v'yochol klape mayla omru. They came with a report that the Kananim are so strong, they're stronger than the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not talking about people who don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. They believe, but not with the Kananim. The Kananim are stronger. What kind of nonsense is that? How could an intelligent person of any caliber suggest such a thing? Chazakum imenu. These are the people who saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. They saw what happened to Pare as soon as the Ribbono Shel Olam decided that Pocket Nifkaditi was over. Pare and all of his strength disappeared. They saw the Eser Makis, they saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw the Mitzrayim go under in a moment. So the Mitzrayim are not Chazakum imenu, but the Kananim are. You can argue maybe the Kananim were stronger, the Kananim were Lamed Aleph Malachim. But where is the logic? Where is the basis? What was the yesoid of this mistake? And we're not talking about simpletons. We're not talking about people who, if I could speak for myself, were on our level when they set out. They were gedolim when they left. They were the chosen, the hand chosen of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's pshat? And by Kriyas Yamsuf it says, we say it in the Shira, we say it, Namoigu kol yoishvei Kanaan. The world was shaking by Kriyas Yamsuf. The Kananim knew their strength, but when they saw Kriyas Yamsuf, they went into a panic because they knew it's over. So the Meraglim come along and say, Chozok hu mimenu. What pshat? What pshat? Avada the Meraglim made a toast, and a serious toast, and they are condemned, and they had the end that they had. But we need to understand the yesoid of their toast. Where did it start? Where did they go wrong? What was their mistake? So the truth is, it says in Sfarim, in addition to this statement of Chozok hu mimenu, which we'll come back to in a minute, the Meraglim had an agenda. They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael regardless. If there's no choice, if we're able to conquer it, they have to come back and give an accurate report. They were not liars. It so happened that in their minds, the facts on the ground coincided with their agenda. But they had an agenda to stay in the Midbar. Why would they have wanted to stay in the Midbar? Shteikin Sforim, brought from the Arizal, that the Midbar was a world that is called Olam HaMachshava. And Eretz Yisrael is a world of Olam HaMaisa. In the Midbar, all of their needs were taken care of. In the Midbar, they had no worries. They had Mon Mira Shamayim, they had Beira Shel Miriam, the Anani HaKavod looked after their clothing. All of the things that occupy our days from morning to night, which are so petty and so foolish, and we think about our mission here in this world, and what are we doing here? What are we doing? Trying to make a parnasa, trying to look after our physical, our gashmistige needs. That was all taken care of in the Midbar. It all came in HaShamayim. So what did the Yid focus on? What did the Yid focus on in the Midbar? On Dveikus and Hashem. On Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sat and learned Torah. They had just received the Torah. They were sitting in the Beis Medrash. They were sitting ish tachas gafnoi, tachas teinosoi. It was mamish like Gan Eden. There weren't all the distractions, not just the distractions, but all the corruptions that are involved in Ilum Hazm. It was an ideal world. It was an ideal world. There was Yidden, there were the Rebbeinu Shalom, there were no neighboring nations, there was no industry, there was no business, there was no politics, there was no problems. Everything was perfect. Coming to Eretz Yisrael, they knew everything is going to change. This was part of the plan. This was on the cards. They knew there's going to have to be a Chodesh Vazeireya, Tana Sidura, the past Nakat, until you can see a piece of bread, you have to go through so many malachas. They understood that things are going to change once they enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Meraglim said, if only we can stay in the Midbar. Why would you want to stay in the Midbar? So that we can remain Dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this higher Madrega, which will be robbed from us, which we will be denied when we go into Eretz Yisrael. So this was their cheshbon, why the L'chatchila wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael. In the Midbar, I'm sorry. And this is also Merumis in the Pasuk where they say, Eretz Oicheles Yishveh. Eretz Oicheles Yishveh. What is Achilo? Achilo means that which was previously food is consumed, and it becomes part of he who eats that food. So the biscuit that you eat or the coffee that you drink becomes dam, naset dam, ubosor, kipsore. That's why eating kosher is so important, because it becomes part of you and it enters every single cell of your being. It makes who you are. Eretz lecheles Yeshua, Eretz is artzius. Artzius, the gashmius. The artzius will consume us. Lecheles Yeshua. We won't be able to retain even our minimal basic level of ruchnius. We'll be entirely consumed by the artzius. Anam Oretz is mistakenly translated as an ignoramus. It normally coincides. Normally, an Am Haaretz is an ignoramus. But an Am Haaretz is somebody who is dedicated entirely only to Artzius. He's an Am of the Haaretz. He's committed to Artzius. That's what an Am Haaretz is. Obviously, how does somebody come to read so totally focused only on Gashmius and on Artzius? Because he doesn't have Torah. But that's the cause, the effect. The term of Am Haaretz means somebody who's into Artzius. If you look in the Gemara Lagabe, somebody who's a Chaver and Choshed Al HaMaisis, you don't have to be a Talmud Chochem to be Yotze Miklal Am Haaretz. You have to be a Ne'amon to be Yotze Miklal Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz, if somebody has time and he's not into Artzius, he's going to learn Torah, he's going to become a Talmud Chochem. But the Artzius, the Eretz is like Cheles Yoshevel. That was the time of the Meravi. So what was the counter time of Yeshua and Caliph? What could they say? L'chayna, that's a taina. What is the answer? So Yeshua and Kolev say, you're right. Your cheshbin, as a cheshbin, is a correct cheshbin. You want to go into Eretz Yisrael, l'chayna, al-pi seichel, al-pi cheshbin, logically, you're going to lose the madregas that you had in the Midbar. But you're missing one fact. There's one part of the equation that you didn't take into account. What do they say? Ki chofetz bonu Hashem. If a Yid goes into Gashmius where he's not called upon to do so, he does so on his own volition, he's expected to be elsewhere, and he chooses to go into a world of Gashmius when the alternative is where he should be, then forget it. There's no chance. But in ki chofetz bonu Hashem, im chofetz bonu Hashem, if the Rebbeinu Shalom wants so, if he chooses and he dictates that we should go into Eretz Yisrael, then that tzivui milamayla gives us the strength to retain all of those madregas, even in a world of artzius. And that's why they say, ki lachmeinu hein. Lachmeinu hein. The artzius will become our lechem. Our lechem. Lechem is a mosaic for the nefesh, for the ruchnius of a person. The person who's going to come into Eretz Yisrael can engage with the gashmius of the world in such a way that the Gashmi should be elevated into his Ruchnis, should be consumed by him. Not only does he retain his original stance, but on the contrary, he grows and benefits and receives the nutrition that the Gashmi has to offer if he does so. Chofetz Bonu Hashem, Al Pi Tzivui Hashem. So this was the Yesod of their Tos L'chatchila. It still doesn't answer our question of Chazok U'Mimenu. So the Pshat is Azoi, that Chazok U'Mimenu was the same Tos. Avada the Meraglim knew and they understood that the Rebbeinu Shalom can make Nisim. They saw Nisim. They also understood that there's nothing in the world that is stronger than the Rebbeinu Shalom if he decides and wants to have things go on a certain path. But all of the Nisim that they had seen were Nisim that took place either in Mitzrayim or in the Midbar. In Mitzrayim, the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim was one where Klal Yisrael took no part in it. Hashem yilochim lochem v'atem tacharishun. Tacharishun. Hashem yilochim lochem. There was no army. There was no physical intervention. There was no diplomacy. It was l'mayla min ateva from the start to the end. Rebbeinu Shalom told Pari, you're going to let them out. And Moshe Rabbeinu warned him, and he was given one, second, a third, and so many chances. And in the end, it was over. So it was entirely orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Meraglim say, of course, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, when he's pulling the shots, then everything is going to go as planned. But we're going into Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, the plan was from the very beginning that they're going to go on the in a system of teva, of nature. Kol Yoytzei Tzava were counted already in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. The very fact that Meraglim were sent is an indication that we're talking about a natural process. We want to discover what's the easiest route. What's the best path to take? If it's L'mayla min ha-teva entirely, if it's all in the Yad Hashem, then what do you need Meraglim for? Go straight to the front door and you'll crush them. You'll go straight over it. There's nothing to talk about. So they understood that this is going to be different. We're going into a different world. We're going into a different pattern, a different system. System of teva. So here, once again, they made a toast that is based on the same yesoid as the previous toast. Of course, the Rebbeinu Shalom runs it and deals with things when we're in a situation that is l'mayla min ha-teva. But when you enter the world of teva, over there, balabayis eino yochil lo'itzias kelof. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Chazak u'mimenu, says the Gemara, and say afilo balabayis eino yochil lo'itzias kelof. Of course, the Rebbeinu Shalom is the balabayis. He's the only balabayis. They never deny that for a moment. But he is the balabayis, and he sets the rules. And he has kelov, his system. There's a world of teva in which the Rebbeinu Shalom, so to speak, refuses to interfere. And therefore, with the Kanaanim, it's not going to work. What works with the Mitzvim won't work with the Kanaanim. The Mitzvim, we were in a situation where the Rebbeinu Shalom was entirely running the program. And over here now, he's giving over the mandate to us. He's saying you have to go into a world of teva. You're leaving the world of ruchnias. You're going into a world of gashmias where you need to function with a strategy, with a system. Oibazoi, based on that system, we see that they're stronger than us. Ah, you're going to tell me that the Rebbeinu Shalom makes nisim, that's him, it's right. But over here, even though he is the Baal HaBayis, Eino Yimaitzi is Caleb. Because these are his Caleb. And he wants that it should be an oifen of teva. That's what the pasuk says. Ki chazok hu mimenu. Ki chazok hu mimenu. Chazok hu mimenu. Not because he cannot, because he won't, because he won't, because there's a world of teva. If you're ill, there are two possibilities: either you'll have a nes min hashamayim, or the doctor will cure you. And if the doctor cures you, if medicine has a solution, there's a solution. If medicine doesn't have a solution, there's no solution. That's the approach in the absence of Torah. That's not the approach of Yeshua and Kalif. The Gemara says that a Yid is ma'amin ba'kodesh baruch hu v'zoireya. If you're zoireya, then you think it's going to be working as a result of your input. Nonetheless, a Yid understands that his input is only a keli and a vessel for the Rebbeinu Shalom's intervention. It's all in this. When the army is going ahead of them, when it's Yoytzei Tzava, when they're going with Meraglim, it's also the Yad Hashem. It's just running in a different way. It's a more concealed way. It's going through a different... it's being camouflaged. But it's always the Yad Hashem. And this the Meraglim failed to understand. They thought that there are two domains. There's a higher world and there's a lower world. It's the same Yesod, it's the same toast. There's a world of Machshavet and there's a world of Maisa. Mitzad, the Avodah of a Yid, his Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only limited. He only has access to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the world of Machshava, because the world of Mais is the world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by his own choice, so to speak, is absent. At least absent for our access. And the same is true with the two worlds, the world of Teva and the world of L'mayla Min HaTeva. The world of L'mayla Min HaTeva, hands down, we do nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs it, and everything works wondrously. But in the world of Teva, once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absent. There's a place in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to demonstrate, not to interfere, not to intervene. And therefore they say, Chazaku Mimenu. What's the answer? Yeshua and Kalev understand that that's not the case. Yeshua and Kalev understand that the Ribbono Shel'olam is everywhere. In the highest of the highs and in the lowest of the lows, and because the Ribbono Shel'olam has no hakbola, no limitation, a person can achieve the greatest ruchnis, the gehaitz, the greatest levels of kedusha, even in the world of gashmis, provided it's chav itbonu Hashem. Provided that's where he's meant to be. There's Yisachar and Zvulun, and the Torah says Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha. It's not a b'di'evet. For that person, that's his malkut. And that person can achieve there what he wouldn't achieve elsewhere. The Ribbono Shel Olam is accessible wherever he commands you to be. And if you are expected to be here, then you can access your greatest heights over here. If Eretz Yisrael is the place of choice, if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael, we can achieve everything in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, by our own choice, if we would decide to go into Gashmis unnecessarily, we're gone. But if it's the command that there should be engagement with Eretz Yisrael, and why the case, that's a separate discussion. If there's a demand that there should be a Zeireya, and there should be a Chodesh, and there should be Bigis Apecha Toichalechem, Tzoklola, but it's a Tzoklola that came Ilamayla, that's the mandate, that's the situation we're in, then that's what you have to do. And if you do so, and you are aware of the fact that you're doing so because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to be doing so, you can retain your Ruchnis to Gemadreges, and not only that, you can even be elevated as a result. And this is actually what happens when they go into Eretz Yisrael. What happens when they go into Eretz Yisrael? What happens? It's a very strange thing. They go, and they go as an army. The Gemara said the Bnei God and the Bnei Reuben went first. Why? They go as an army. And what happens? They surround Yericho 7 times, and the walls of Yericho collapse. So the question is, if we're talking about a Nes, why do you need a Tzava? Why do you need Yeritzei Tzava? They could have sat in the Bismedish and the walls of Yericho would collapse and finished. Could have been a tsunami and everything would have been over. Why do you need... So they're going in a way of Teva, but the results of their Teva is an interference of the Ma'alam in a Teva. And that's the Yisoid of Kal Yisrael, when they leave the Midbar, that everything you do is L'mayla Min HaTeva. You think your wealth is a result, is a product of your brilliance, of the right contacts, of taking the right moves? Nonsense. That's Heipach HaAmuna. First of all, I can prove it to you right now. Your wealth is not the product of your brilliance. Simply, I can prove it to you irrefutably because I am brilliant and I'm not wealthy. Ain elof tircha. The charay that it's not, it doesn't work like that. But besides for that, if the Torah said it's not the case, the Torah says it's not the case. Leila chachamim lechem. You were chosen because of your ma'asim tovim, because of your schuyas, because of schus avos. Whatever the case is, your actions are a means of making. If you don't do the actions, obviously you'll be a pauper. That's not the question. But when you take the necessary steps, they create a vehicle for the birchas Hashem itashir. Birchas Hashem itashir. So you have in the life of a yid, you have this dichotomy of teva and lamayla min hateva. And the challenge is, even in the world of Teva, to acknowledge and to recognize and to never lose sight of that fact that it's the Ma'alam. You're going to a doctor, you're sitting in the waiting room, say a Perek Tehillim. Say a Perek Tehillim. You think he's a clever surgeon, he can help you. He's a Keli. If the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, he'll be the Shliach, and if not, he won't. And if the penicillin is direct, and you can see it on a telescope, you see it in a laboratory, how that is killing the... That's not the case. This is a keli. This is a means. And the more it's melubish and teva, the bigger the challenge is to see the lamayla metzav. And that is the process of Klal Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael. And what went in front of Klal Yisrael? The Orin. The Orin went in front. How does the Orin contribute to the war efforts? What does the Orin do for success in a Mulchama? The Orin always walked in the front. Says the Gemara, Lagabi the Orin, there was the Ness. What was the Ness of the Orin? The Ness of the Orin was that the Orin took up 2.5 amas. Right? And the Kachi Kachim was 20 amas. The Kachi Kachim was 20 amas. If you measure it from wall to wall, you have a total of 20 amas. And if you measure the space of the Orin, you have 2.5 amas. Now how much should there be between the ends of the Orin and the outer walls? How much should he be left with? In total. Correct. So the Gemara, that when you count it from the wall until the Orin, until the beginning of Orin, you had 10 amas on each side. What's chat? The Gemara says, Mokre Ma'are, Einoi Min Hamidu. The Mokre Ma'are didn't take up space. It took up space. If you counted, it was 2.5 amas. But at the same time, it didn't take up space. Now this is strange. First of all, why we need a nest like this? What was the purpose of this nest? But more so, we know what Mokre is. Mokre is space. We don't know exactly what Lamailo Min Hamokre is, but we can imagine. It's an existence that is not confined by the limitations of space. Yeah? It's a different type of presence where you don't have space. We can see Mokim, we can imagine Lamailo Min Hamokim. But to have Mokim and Lamailo Min Hamokim at the same time, it's a space that measures 2.5 amas, and yet it doesn't take up space in the bigger picture. What's that? What kind of situation is that? Either there's Mokim or there's Lamailo Min Hamokim. The answer is no, that's precisely the point of the Orin. That's its purpose, that's its objective. That even in Mokim, even in something that you can measure, and you can quantify, the truth is that over there, there's also Lamayla Min HaMokim. It's not two separate worlds. It's not one world in which there's Kedusha, there's Ruchnias, where you can have high Madregas, and then there's a Gashmistic world where everything is physical, everything is quantified by measurements, by spatial means by spatial senses. You have lemaila min hamakim in makim, in space, in the gashmis, in that medical procedure, there is birchas Hashem, there's a nest that is lemaila min hateva entirely. Entirely. No contribution is made by the lower realms other than allowing for that bracha to take effect, to take place. Why? Because the ratzon Hashem is that you should be healed through a doctor. So you visit a doctor. The Ratzon Hashem is that your wealth should be acquired as a result of Chet Deit Zadas through Yegiya Sapecha. So you have Yegiya Sapecha. Zeya Sapecha. But that's not the mocker of the bracha. It's Lamailo Min HaMokim that comes down into mocker. And this is the response to both mistakes of the Meraglim. The first mistake, that in order for a person to retain his ruchnias, he has to entirely disassociate himself from gashmias. And to the degree that you engage with gashmias, to the same degree do you minimize your ruchnias, which is a very logical observation. And the Rambam writes so as well. The Rambam writes, just like you can't have fire and water in the same vessel, you can't have avas atayra and avas tanugi olam hazeh at the same time. That's true so long, it's very, very true. Not to be mistaken, it is very, very true. The more a person is engrossed in materialism, the more he's removed from ruchnius. But it's only true so long as there isn't a chafetz banu Hashem, where there is a mitzvah, where there is a tzivui, where you are engaging in something that the Torah says, the Torah, the Orin has the koyach to bring l'mayim min hamokim into mokim. So the Shabbos is not megasha. You know, if you want to be more refined, if you want to be more spiritual, if you want your davening to take more effect, the first step is you should stop eating chocolate. Stop drinking Coca-Cola. This is cause and effect. This is not magic. That's the way it works. Your grandparents didn't drink Coca-Cola, and that's why when they davened, there was more of a fire there. What? They had chocolates? I'm not sure. I don't think so. I'll tell you something. My mother-in-law was born in Russia, and she got for her 9th birthday, you know what she got? A pear. Pear. That was her gift for her birthday. They didn't have chocolates. If they had chocolates, the mothers pawned it in for us pickled chicken for Shabbos. But the chocolate is not going to get you anywhere. And neither is Coca-Cola going to get you anywhere. And if you want to have a shaykhus to ruchnius, you have to disengage to the degree that is not required from gashmius. But that doesn't include the areas where chafetz bono Hashem. Where you're going to make a parnasa for your mishpacha, where you're engaging with your mishpacha, you're playing with your children, where you're doing the things, you're doing chesed to another yid, those things, as much as they require that you be entirely engrossed in gashmius, they do not take their toll on your ruchnius. How is that possible? It goes against the laws of physics. The Rambam writes you can't have both at the same time. The koyach ha-Torah is such that the lamailo min ha-mokim penetrates mokim. You don't have to escape from mokim in order to have access to lamailo min ha-mokim. Klal Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael was not a yirida, it was an aliyah. Why? Because that was the Tzivi Hashem. And that Tzivi Hashem gave them a stronger connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the first toast. And the second toast is the assumption that it's either things are coming milamailo or things are being done al piteva. That's a mistake. That's a huge mistake. That's kfira. Rashi says, that's saying chazakum imenu. That's saying that there's a certain area in which Canaan's strength versus our strength will dictate whether there will be victory or loss. There's only one source that determines what's going to happen. Entirely what's going to happen is only determined by one source. And that is the Lamailo min ha-Mokim. That is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He so chose that in this stage of history, it should come through physical endeavors. You should see a doctor, and you should see your bank manager, and you should get financial advice as to what you should do and what steps you should take. But you have to remember at every one of those moments that it's coming to Lamailo. I just want to finish with a story. There was a yid, it was a Talmud of the Magid, who had a very big business running. He had a very big business, and in business you have to make an account, you have to have an inventory, you have to know what's coming and what's going. So he once sat down and he made a cheshbon of his year's things, what came in, what went out, and it was a long process. And on the bottom he wrote Sach HaKoil. Sach HaKoil with a colon, and he has to fill in what's the Sach HaKoil. This wasn't a story. He wasn't doing this because he knew it's going to be reported in some newspaper. This was between him and himself. They found the papers. His children found the papers. What was the Sach HaKoil? What did he write? He wrote three words. Ein Oid Milvadoi. That's the Sach HaKoil. To sit in a besmedish and say Ein Oid Milvadoi is easy. Having gone through the entire inventory of your year's work and to see that if you look at the word Sach HaKoil, what is the ultimate final analysis? What's the conclusion of all of this? The conclusion is that Ein Oid Milvadoi. And that's why there was a loss on a Wednesday and there was a profit on a Thursday. Because Ein Oid Milvadoi. In the world of business, to see how it's really all a lot higher. That's the mandate. That's the challenge of countering the mirage. Thank you very much.